Lord, we just thank you again for this opportunity to come together in one accord and to link our faith together, Lord, and to seek you for all the things that we need, Father. And you know, Lord, I just teach us how to listen for your voice. Teach us how to be led by your Spirit, Lord. You know, we can study the Word of God, Lord, and do all that, but we don't stay in your presence like we should. A lot of us don't. And Lord, linger, as this lady says, in your presence is what you enjoy. And that's where we get the mysteries of heaven. And Father, I'm just asking tonight that we get revelations in how to worship you and how to linger in your presence and seek you and you alone in our quiet times, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. We all long to be closer to you, Father, and to be able to listen to your voice every day. And I ask, Lord, that we all get a revelation tonight in that respect. And I thank you for it, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. Thank you for answering our prayers, too, Lord. We just believe. We are a believing bunch of your disciples, Lord. And we thank you for placing bold faith in all of us, because we are affecting the spiritual air around us by our prayers. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Or testimony or praise report. Okay. Judy, you was first. Go ahead.
Okay. I have an awesome testimony and a praise report that God answers prayer. This is really absolutely great. I went to Indiana over the Christmas thing, and I was believing that I was going to see my grandkids because I've been praying to see my grandkids, but my son has said, no, that won't happen. But I wasn't listening to him anymore because the Lord said, don't listen to him. You believe what you pray for. So I was believing that. And when I saw Doug on Friday, he said, well, now you can see the grandkids for an hour and a half. And I said, praise the Lord. So I got to see the grandkids. I got pictures with them. I mean, it was a short time, but I mean, that's okay. You know, the Lord answered my prayer. He also answered it exactly the way I asked, because I asked him to put it into my daughter-in-law's mind that she would let me see the grandkids. And that's exactly what happened. Doug said, Angie said that you can see the grandkids. So that was really, really great. And then I also had another thing with that. I had to drive down to their house, which was around 2.5 hours, and then be with them for an hour and a half, and then drive back 2.5 hours. Well, I just haven't drove much lately, for at least a year. I haven't drove like much more than half an hour to, you know, an hour. I just haven't drove that long. And I thought, oh boy, okay, I'm really weak now, Lord. So I need to have you be strong, because I don't know how I'm going to make that drive. But he got me down there and he got me back. So he was strong for me. So I got a double testimony. So thank you, Lord. He answers prayer.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. All right, Matt.
Yeah, I've got a praise report. Last Thursday, we prayed for my grandmother. We went into the hospital, and a couple days later, I got a call from my dad saying that they went to visit her in the hospital, and she's doing really, really good, and they're just getting the fluids out now, and she should be out any day now. So, praise you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else? Judy's still pumped. Look at it. Yay! Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Hey, Barbara. Go ahead, Missy.
Hi.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Missy.
Bless you. My this weekend, Saturday, my family is getting together, and if y'all remember, there's been a division in the family, and best of my knowledge, my son Matt and daughter-in-law Megan, they got married back in July. They're not going to be coming, and so I want to pray about that. I want to ask the Lord for a miracle there. I had tried to call him earlier, you know, just to talk to him, because I haven't talked to him in a while, and he didn't answer. But I left him a text message asking him to give me a call back. But anyway, so I just want to ask the Lord for a miracle on that. Father, I just praise you and thank you that you are the God of miracles, that nothing is impossible for you. And Lord, I just ask you to send forth your angels in the midst of this whole thing, and you work in people's hearts, send forth your Holy Spirit conviction, and just send your angels to scatter the enemy in the midst of my family, between them, those that are involved, and even if there's ones that are involved that I'm not aware of or whatever, just cast down this spirit of faction in the name of Jesus, and command it to go out in the midst of my family, and upon everyone that it's infected, in the name of Jesus. And just ask you to put a spirit of reconciliation, Lord, in the midst of my family. And I pray, Lord, that Matt and Megan would come to the gathering on Saturday. I ask in Jesus' name that you put it into their heart, put forgiveness in everyone's hearts. And I thank you for salvation, green repentance, and unto salvation in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I just thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that it's going to be done. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Joe, what's going on?
Good morning.
Well, I got a prayer request. So just agree with me, everybody. I mean, a couple of you know. Well, I mean, what I told you Sunday there, Michael, I texted you. It's kind of an emergency prayer request there with a situation I've had with a coworker. It's, you know, well, let's just say one of the many, you know, and this one was probably the worst one I've ever had. And, I mean, I posted just, you know, I didn't give you guys, those of you who saw it on Facebook, I posted one, you know, and this is what it's about. But I've had a very tormented coworker, you know, to put it nicely. I mean, and this is part of why I've had mercy on him. You know, I had a chance to get him fired the other day, and I didn't take it. I thought, well, he's a very tormented, you know, bitter, angry, hateful individual. And what good would I do? You know, what kind of witness would it be if I just walked right in the office there and said, hey, you know, I think you need to deal with him here. But ultimately what happened Sunday, you know, I mean, I already started the day off on a rough note. Didn't start the day off on a good note. And so with this guy, his name's Dave, you know, I've brought him up many times before, you know, for prayer, but you know, it was one of those days he was having a hard time. I mean, just whatever it was, I don't know. He said, start of the day, he said, hey, Joe, you know, and I was already frustrated about something, dealing with stuff, you know, and I had a work situation come up. I think I said, hey, but it wasn't loud enough to where he heard it. You know, and that caused him to flip out on me, you know, yell at me and all that, so it, which seems to be a daily occurrence. You know, lately it's gotten a lot better. But basically, you know, I just kind of brushed it off. I was like, well, you know, that's Dave being Dave. You know, I mean, hauling off and just kind of yelling at me and, you know, taking things the wrong way. So I just kind of, you know, just figured out, well, that's just the way he is. And I went back to work, you know, about 15, 20 minutes later, he came up to me on the forklift, you know, and so I could already feel the flesh rising up in me, you know, the enemy working against me here, like, oh, he's going to come around. He's going to try to say something to you, get a rise out of you. And well, yeah, that's what he did. You know, he came around and basically I think he just said, hey, you know, listen, I just said, Dave, leave me alone. You know, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to you. You know, you're coming off as a bully. Just please leave me alone. And which, you know, pretty much probably wasn't the best thing to say. You know, I mean, I was already reacting in the flesh like, you know, he was. And then he started getting angry and going off at me, you know, and we were going back and forth. And eventually he just said, you know, hey, you want to go talk to Adam, our GM, who, you know, because I mean, with our boss, he's not a very easy person to talk to. And he actually wasn't there that day. Or I mean, neither of them were there, you know, that day. But I guess he was almost just, you know, I guess it was more just, you know, instigating the situation. He said, hey, you know, let's go talk to Adam about this. I said, sure, you know, let's go talk to him. And then, you know, he just kind of led to one thing. He's saying, you know, yeah, let's go. You go ahead and get me fired. And then he basically said, you know, if you get me fired, I'm going to kill you. You know, so he made a death threat at me. And that was just kind of like, I guess it's like crossed the line big time. And he said that at least a couple times. So this is where I really reacted to the fresh. I went over to him and I said, excuse me? I mean, well, whoa, you know, what makes you think, what gives you the right to say that? You know, I said stuff like that. And so we were going back and forth and he, you know, denied he said that. And then things died off. But, you know, he eventually went home around 10 a.m. I think it happened around 9:45 a.m. You know, and so he went home around 10 a.m. And just yesterday, I've had other people pray for him. You know, I've let a couple others know. And so yesterday, I mean, nothing happened. It was totally silent. But just agree with me, you know, for just, you know, most of all, wisdom on how to deal with the situation. I mean, I didn't do anything. I mean, I had the opportunity, I could have taken it yesterday to go to the boss and tell him, hey, this is what happened. But then I thought, you know, this is one of those opportunities I need to turn the other cheek. You know, I really need to die to the old man. I need to turn the other cheek because I could have had the opportunity to say, yeah, I could cause him to lose his job. But then, you know, it kind of dawned on me. I thought, I don't want to be the cause of that, you know, and he's already tormented enough. I don't want to cause more problems for him. You know, he was actually homeless at one point in his life, you know, alcoholic major, you know, which drove him to being homeless. And just, he's very tormented, you know, got a lot of mental issues. And so, you know, I just want to, you know, lift him up in prayer here, you know, however the Lord leads, but just, you know, use this as a opportunity for me, you know, I mean, most of all, but ultimately to bring him to salvation. You know, I sense this, you know, God, give me an opportunity to just reach out to him, try to be the peacemaker. You know, that was the last thing on my mind. I was like, I don't want to be. But then as others prayed for me, and then, you know, yesterday came around, you know, we didn't talk to each other, didn't even really acknowledge each other. Nothing was said. So, you know, I just was like, I was kind of pondering on, you know, praying here and there, and I thought, yeah, that's the best thing, you know, to be the peacemaker, to not bring it up to the bosses. You know, and I felt more peace about that. But yeah, just go ahead and agree with me in prayer, you know, that whatever God wants to do out of this, most of all, but just kind of wisdom and just, you know, that ultimately what the, you know, enemy meant for evil, God means for, you know, for good here. So yeah, Father, I thank you for the situation you brought up in my life. It's just this past Sunday, Lord, I thank you that you're really doing a work on me, Lord. You know, I know you're wanting me to, you know, they're really good cooperate in all this. And I confess I have not been cooperative, Lord. Forgive me. I've been resistant to let you work, to let you, you know, I mean, continue the process of crucifying that old man. I've been resistant. You know, forgive me, Lord. I do confess that. You know, and this was, I believe, just another one of those opportunities. And Dave's been one of those instruments you've used on many occasions to help this process, you know, many times, Lord. And forgive me for being resistant. Lord, help me. Help me most of all to stop being resistant, to realize the importance of being obedient in this, and to not resist, but to give in and let you do what you want to do, Lord. You know, this, I think that's one thing this opportunity taught me. But ultimately as well, Lord, I pray for Dave. You know, Lord, I pray you just have mercy on him. You know, have mercy on him. You know, if it means humbling him, I don't know what. You know, Lord, let your will be done in his life. You know, if it does mean humbling him, Lord, and if he loses his job, you know, Lord, it's all up to you. I just put it all in your hands. You know, I'm not going to speculate. Well, maybe this will happen, Lord. I'm just letting you have it. You know, give me opportunities to reach out to him if so. But Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in his life and you'd lead him to salvation. You know, he's probably already tormented and he's convicted about things. But Lord, you know, help me to be that vessel of mercy, you know, and love, and no longer like the other guys around me that would say, you know, well, he needs to be done away with, you know, he needs to be fired. He's part of the problem. No, I put that behind me, Lord, you know, and I just continue to work that out of me to where it's not known in me. And I give you all the glory and honor ahead of time, you know, for whatever you're going to do. So I thank you for this again. And I thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, in Dave's life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we lift up Joe to you. Lord, we thank you for the mighty work that you've done in him.
Yeah.
You humbled him to confess what he's done. And we thank you, Father, that from this point on, you're going to work it in him to be that light that he needs to be at his yes. work. So, Father, put it in his heart to pray every morning before he goes to work about the situations, and let it just let him pray that there will be peace in his workplace and that everybody would get things done. And also to pray for himself to have the grace and the mercy to just overlook everything but your love toward them, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Father, for maturing Joe in this process, Father. He's walking this walk that we all walk, and we all learn from it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for what you do. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay.
All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Willie.
All right. I have a similar testimony to share today. I think you might find it interesting, Joe. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yeah. Joe, I'm going to mute you.
And so I was at work today, and I got assaulted by a client today. You know, the client came up from behind me, bam, right in my face. You know, he couldn't take no for an answer. Before today, you know, I was doing spiritual warfare, you know, last night. And I came across this spirit, man. And the Lord, I talked to the Lord and I said, you know, Lord, there's this rooted spirit, you know, and I can't pin it down. It was hard for me to pin it down, but it would always rear its ugly head, you know. And, you know, at first I'm thinking, yeah, maybe it's Jezebel's spirit, you know, maybe it's an Ahab spirit. And then my call, so I'm calling, you know, Lord, you know, binding these spirits and stuff like that, you know. And then I saw it. The Lord said, no, that's a hermaphrodite spirit. And I was like, what? I mean, it had both sexual organs. You know, so I knew it was a high perverse spirit. And I was like, I finally pinned it. You know, the Lord revealed it. I asked him, I said, Lord, you know, just examine me, show me, you know, what's in my heart, you know, Lord God. I just started praying. You know. It's my desire to get closer and closer to you. So I pinned this spirit down, right? Brought fire down on it. Boy, you know, you could feel these things in the spiritual realm, man. And it was a good night. It was a good night. of prayer, you know. Went to work today. The young gentleman, mind you, he has mental health issues, but at the same time, he has this feminine spirit. So there was a particular thing he wanted me to do, and I had to tell him no because it wasn't that hour. We can't do it around that time. He questioned me about it again, you know, and I told him no, and it set him off. You know, first he grabbed my name tag and looked at my name, you know, and then he thrust and pushed me. You know, he was like, you know, can I have it or not? And I said, no, you can't have it till 5 o'clock. I'm sorry. You know, started walking away, turned my back to him. He comes up behind me, you know, and all I see is, you know, I get this hip right over across my face. And all this part turns white. And the first thing that comes into me was like calm. Like just calm. And all the before the blood pressure could go, pew, it's time to lay some hands on somebody. You know. Immediately all of it was stopped. You know. And I turned to, you know, go deal with the young man, like, hey, you're going to have to leave because you can't assault a staff member. Before that can happen, you know, two clients attacked him. And that made me feel horrible, you know, that he got attacked because he has mental health issues. And the Lord began to show me the spirits that were after his life, you know. And it showed me, you know, it was a spirit of murder, you know. But this is after I got home. But the Lord is interested. I was praying. I said, Lord, rebuke me, chasten me, correct me. Father, chastise me, you know. Show me what's in my heart. And you know, I was crying out, you know, crying out to God. And the Lord told me, you know, that spirit that you cast out, play one more card. One more card to try to find a way back in. And he used the young man who was a man, but he had kind of feminine qualities about himself, the way he acted, carried his words, gestured himself. And I was like, wow, you were right about that spirit, Lord, you know. And so the Lord began to teach me one more thing about myself. You know, he began to show me other things, you know, that I had buried in my heart. And he showed it to me as this young kid spirit, you know. You know, back when I grew up and I used to, people would either jump me or pick on me or hurt me when I was growing up in school. And I would have a lot of anger. And I would store up a lot of anger. And I would just think of things that I could do to them. I wanted to do to them. And he brought up that spirit. And I saw that little kid spirit. It looked like a little kid. Like this angry little raging little kid, you know, and I rebuked that spirit. Then the Lord began to show me other things in my heart. He used this whole situation, you know, to show me what was in my heart, you know. And you would think if you get punched, hit in the face by somebody, you know, you want to justify yourself. I was just following the rules and this guy came up and hit me, and, you know. I got every right to be angry, but the Lord, you know, did a good work from me, you know, and brought out different things, you know, that he showed me in my heart, man. And I found it really interesting, you know, and I took joy in repenting, you know, and I found that weird how you can be sorrowful and joyful at the same time. You know, I was like, oh, Lord, I don't know which one to be in front of, joyous or sorrowful. And he quickly caused me to repent, you know, and said, you know, you don't have to, you know, drag it out. Don't bring yourself into an area where you're going to drag this out. You know, just repent from these things. And the Lord closed the prayer just like that, you know. And I found it really amazing, you know. And, you know, I've been assaulted like twice at work. This is my second, you know, time being assaulted. But he showed me something about my character, you know, and he showed me, you know, things that were still stored up in my heart that I needed to repent from. And that's what I was crying out to him about last night, you know. But I was so surprised, you know, that that spirit that was cast out tried to play that trump card. Now I'm going to find some way to get back in here, even if I have to bring bitterness and anger and unforgiveness, you know, and evil imagination and self-justification and all that other kind of garbage, man. Yeah, so it's a good day, you know, a good day. You know, my boss was like, Willie, you got to go home. I'm like, I'm fine. You know, I've been to the guy, you know. I felt horrible, you know, when they hit him. I felt like I didn't react fast enough, you know, because I was still the eye thing. I was still, you know, my eye all watering up and I'm trying to do this. And this girl comes out of nowhere. What did you have? It ends up hitting him and kicking him. The other dude just came out of nowhere, just hit him so hard. And I was like, then the Lord began to deal with me about that in the shower, you know. And I was just like, wow. And he brought this, you know, he said, you know, he started leading me to pray for the young man, you know, and to truly, you know, really pray for people, because I don't know what he's gone through, you know, but today has been a very interesting, you know, eventful day, you know. At least I got to go home early.
Amen. Amen. That's a good testimony.
And I get paid for it. Yeah, just go home. Like a whore. I'm like, oh, thank you. Sorry. But yeah, it was very interesting. Because I've just been asking the Lord, you know, drawing closer to his presence. And you know, I would never have thought that the Lord would use that to bring things up that were hidden.
He froze up. You're froze up, Willie. Do-do-do-do. Come on back, Willie. Okay, well, there. While he's getting back, go ahead, Missy.
When Willie was talking about this, it just reminded me, I don't know why I didn't think of it earlier, the Lord just reminded me about two things here lately. When I go for my walk, there's this house that I walk by, and at least twice here lately, it's these two ladies that live together. It might be a mother and daughter, I don't know, but they're the one lady's in a wheelchair. Anyway, the younger one, she's at least 16. The other one, I'm guessing, is close to 80. I'm not sure, but anyway, she pulls her car up to the front door in the yard so she can get, I guess, her mother and put her in the car. Anyway, twice here lately, I've been walking by the younger one, you know, trying to help the one get out of the car that's in the wheelchair, and she's angry and she's like yelling at her and just really being mean to her. And so, you know, I've just been, you know, twice when I experienced that, I was just praying about that and just binding spirits and everything. And then today, when I was walking by this one house, I could hear this man yelling at like the top of his lungs inside the house. There were two cars, you know, sitting in the driveway, and I don't know, there was somebody there that was visiting or whatever. But anyway, it just really, when I hear it, just stuff like that just really goes through me. I can't, you know, once in a while when I catch a glimpse of something on TV or whatever, and it's violent or whatever, it just really, I can't, it really bothers me. But anyway, when I heard that, I just started praying in the spirit and binding up spirits and as I was walking by, you know, my right side was facing over towards, my right ear was over towards the right where the house was. But anyway, I was just binding up the spirit of murder and everything. And I just had this, I don't know if it was a wrongful fear, but this spirit of murder just came to my mind. And it was just like in my mind, in my right ear, I just kept hearing this gunshot going off, you know, in my ear. You know, it was just like, it wasn't real, but it was just like, and I just kept praying in the spirit and until that like subsided. So I just want to pray, you know, about these two particular situations. So Father, I just, Lord, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of spirits of murder and faction going on in this country, Lord. And this lady, these two ladies, Lord, I just ask you to, in particular, grant this one repentance and salvation, Lord. Just send forth your angels to diffuse any situation and grant repentance in the midst of this situation, this one where this younger lady is taking care of this other lady, Lord, and just help her convict her of how she's being and bring her to herself and realize that she would repent and put your love in her heart for this lady and remind her, you know, she could be the she could be on the other foot and show her, you know, how she's treating her and that she would want to be treated differently if she was in this other lady's shoes, you know, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you for that, Lord. And in this other situation, Lord, I just thank you for diffusing that situation, Lord. And whoever this man was that was hollering and yelling the way he was, Lord, I ask you to grant him repentance. And anybody else, you know, that was involved in that, you know, maybe there was something that someone else was doing that was wrong too. Lord, I just ask you for repentance and peace in all hearts in these situations, Lord. And just thank you and I praise you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done.
Amen.
Is that it?
Thank you, Lord.
All right. Willie, did you have some more you want to add before you froze up there?
Yeah, somehow I got disconnected. I was like, I'm still going to talk about this testimony once I can get back online. But no, I just wanted to share that with you guys because, you know, I wouldn't have thought that, you know, that would be a situation that I would be put in to show me what was in my heart, you know. And for me, it was just like, yeah, that's awesome, you know. And the funny thing is that I wrote a text to Joe about your situation that happened Sunday, you know. And that text seemed to line up with everything that happened to me today. And I'm just like, wow, you know, that's crazy, you know. And so the enemy, you know, he'll work. He will assault us, you know. He'll try to, you know, bring in anger and unforgiveness and malice, you know, vengeful behavior, malicious thoughts, you know, cursings. You know, everything not to stand in the gap, you know, everything, you know, not to be moved and filled and led by the Holy Spirit, you know. Because that roots, that last little root spirit, that little hermaphrodite thing, you know, when the Lord showed me that, you know, and then I get attacked by someone, you know, who has this same similar spirit, I was like, okay. All right, yeah, I see it, you know. But yeah, praise the Lord. That's all I really got to say.
Amen. That's a good testimony. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Hey, Dave. Hey, Don. Hi, Denny. Amen. Just another day in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, right? Thank you, Lord. Did you have something, Sue, that you would like to explain or relate to over here in the fellowship? Go ahead.
I have a prayer request. I have my older sister, Margaret. She had a touch of the flu, and after having it, you know, she got over it, she got healed, but she ended up with back pain. And so I texted her and prayed for her to get healed. And she said a little bit later, I don't know if it was the same day or the next day. I think it might have been the next day. She said it was doing a lot better. And she tried therapy and she tried medicine, and neither one of them was helping. But after I texted her with a prayer, she was agreeing with me in prayer that it was healed. And then I just text her again to see how she's doing, and she said, well, it got better, but then it sounds like it gets good and then it goes back to getting hurting her. So I just want to sent her a prayer to come against the enemy, and but I didn't tell her I was going to pray for her with all of you. So I just lift up my sister Margaret to you, Lord. She has your spirit in her. She belongs to you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would help her to see that she just needs to keep standing on your word and your promise, and that she would not speak anything contrary to it. Father, I just pray that you would help her to give a word to word of your in your Bible to stand on the promises. Lord, by the stripes of Jesus, she's healed. You didn't give her that sickness or disease. You delivered her from that. She's redeemed from the curse of the law. So, Lord, I thank you, Father, that for that healing on her back. And, Lord, that all that pain has to go from her back and not come back in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Next time you talk to her, tell her, say, well, it was gone. You were healed. When he tries to come back on you like that, rebuke it. Just rebuke it. Just tell it to go.
That's what I texted her.
Okay. Praise God. Well,
I rebuked Satan, and I said, you need to keep Satan under by telling him, no, you're not receiving it.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Basically, I did, yeah.
Okay.
But there's more power in prayer when there's more than one. So.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Oh, hey, Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a quick moment to encourage Brother Joe B to stay the course with that. That person, you know, I used to be infected with the demons of rage and anger. And he doesn't even know what he's doing. He doesn't know what's wrong with him. He doesn't even know if there's anything wrong. You're doing the right thing. Turn the other cheek. Stay with it. Pray about him, and the Lord will take care of it for you, brother.
Amen. I believe it too. Thank you,
Lord. I'll just say something there. Or go ahead.
No, go ahead, Joe.
No, yeah, amen. Thanks, Tim. No, I think. Well, actually, I would have to say I think he does know something. That's what's so convicting, and you know, it's. and I've said this before, but I feel like, you know, I think it's interesting. And I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, it sounds like this is the way God works. Is my job, I look at my, who I used to be and every person I work with. There's an element of, you know, who I used to be, you know, all these strongholds I used to deal with. And what still, you know, I'm still have weaknesses and temptations in. And yeah, I mean, I used to be the same way. Angry, I mean, full of bitterness, unforgiveness, you know, hatred. That's a big part of it. I mean, and as we know, you know, at the root of unforgiveness is that root. There's that hatred. There's that anger. There's that bitterness. There's all that stuff. You know, when you're full of unforgiveness, those are the symptoms of that. So I don't know who it is, but yeah, let me actually pray about that, you know, as well. Let me, for Dave and, you know, even this other individual that Willie, you know, you dealt with, and those that you dealt with, Missy, that, I mean, you know, yeah, there's people, they haven't forgiven somebody, you know, and all these other symptoms are just, they're just branches, you know, symptoms. That's all they are. You know, at the root is unforgiveness. So Lord, I just lift these people up to you, you know, and then, I mean, there are several people, Lord. I mean, probably the majority or almost all the people I deal with at work probably have, you know, they have some unforgiveness in their hearts. And they have not fully forgiven somebody. And so we see the anger, the hatred, the criticism, the critical spirit, you know, all those things. At the root is unforgiveness, Lord. We ask that you would deal with these people, Father, in each of our lives. And everyone else here, Lord, who, you know, if they have somebody that they deal with on a daily basis, Father, that you would, Lord, you would open the eyes of these people. You would help them to understand the severity of unforgiveness. I mean, help them to see it for what it is. You know, help them to, I'm sure some of them probably do think, wow, why am I so angry? You know, why am I so full of hatred? Why am I so unhappy? Why am I so bitter? Why am I this and that? But it's, you know, Lord, make it a reality in their life. At the root, you know, show them, Lord, at the root is unforgiveness. You know, I pray you'd give them the grace needed to deal with this, you know, to help them to see their end, you know, if they will not deal with it, but if they want to deal with it, or give them the grace, Lord, you know, give them so much grace that, you know, they just realize, man, I got to look to God, you know, help them to see that too, that they got to look to you, Lord, for the grace to be able to deal with these things, you know, and we thank you for what you're going to do, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead. Joe, I'm going to mute you.
Yeah.
I hear background noise.
Good morning. I just want to praise the Lord again. I think maybe on Friday morning I did give a praise report of, but it got very high temperatures for a week, about 102 degrees Fahrenheit, and then Friday morning it started rain. It rained till yesterday nonstop. It was so nice to see the old 2018 and the new year starting with some blessings of the Lord for, you know, so much rain, and it's cool and no more celebrations, and that's all. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I couldn't understand a lot of that, Joe. If you wanted me to pray or somebody to pray, somebody, go ahead, Dave.
He was thanking the Lord for the rain they got.
Oh, okay.
Because he's praying to give that heat back to us.
Amen. Send it on, Joe.
Appreciate that prayer, Joe.
I got some of it today. It got up close to 60 today here. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cooling it off out there and warming it up back here. In Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else?
I'll speak briefly. Let's talk briefly about that unforgiveness. You know, I think one of the things I found, and if I think about my life, because when I had it too, it was something you learned. It was a behavior you learned from your folks, you know, especially my mom. She was a very unforgiving person and just angry.
And so it will come out, and it becomes part of you when you're young. You know, you grow into that. You think that's normal. And so it takes somebody else from from having that experience or a similar experience to come out and tell you about unforgiveness and the danger that's causing in you, and it shows you the extremes that you're going through. Because even these people, when they go through those extremes, they're just riding that wave, and they're not really sure why, but they're on it. So sometimes it needs a cool head like that, Joe, from somebody for them to experience that and see, wow, this guy's not getting really worked up. You know, and it's like, I am, he's not, you know, he's not blowing off. He's just letting it hit him, and he's saying, oh, okay, fine. Because I've had to have people hit me like that at work too. And I think after it phases them and they start seeing that you're not responding like that, and you too, Willie, when you're not responding back in kind, it starts to get them thinking. And maybe it'll open an avenue. It gets them thinking, maybe the lesson of the Lord, that's the way he works. He works on both our ends too. Because, you know, that helps us overcome. You know, that helps us get on that path where we're able to reject that part of the evil in our life. We're not allowing it to take hold again. You know, it gives us the ability to walk in the light, but also show somebody else the light that they don't have, that maybe they're not experiencing in their life. They maybe, because the way they grew up, especially I did, they didn't have that light to grow up with. They heard about it, but they never saw it and experienced it. So people have to experience that light. And so as much as we think, wow, we just really went through some times and we're going to pray for that person, we don't realize that by us not responding in kind and then, you know, just absorbing it, being that dead man that was walking, they seen something. They seen something they didn't see before. So it's not like it was totally wasted time. Just to give you that idea of what's going on.
Okay. Anybody else?
I'd like to add to that.
Okay, George, go ahead.
Just I learned a while back that attitudes are contagious, and if you can bring joy to a situation, whether you have to prep yourself with some praise and worship, or, you know, that's how I usually do it, is carry a song with me. And then, you know, people get intimidated when you have peace, and they might get angry if you feel like you've got the answers to, you know, basically the God of this world tries to make where we walk hell, but then the kingdom of God comes near, and like leaven, we are infecting the Holy Spirit in us and in others around us, is infecting our areas of where we go, and everybody that comes in contact with that joy, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we can keep that presence of joy with us, you know, people never forget that. It's almost like preaching without saying anything. It's that kingdom that can't be shaken. When people come up against that, it changes their heart. Something in them, their spirit, needs that joy. And if we can maintain our joy, then we will get open doors and open conversations to find out where the rottenness is, so we can be the salt and the light, and we can, you know, ask people, you know, to be our brothers. You know, can you respond to the gospel? Do you know God? Do you have a history with God? Because if this is a rotten place that we're in, then we need more salt. We need more light to sanctify and cleanse where we're at and build a heaven on earth, bring heaven down and the presence of God into a situation and overcome and overtake wherever we go, so that even, you know, it's like those guys that get thrown in the the poop pit and the prisons and stuff, but that's where they get to praise the Lord. You find heaven wherever you go, because you take heaven with you, and no matter how bad it seems, you can still create an atmosphere, and that is life. That gives life, and I have to practice that myself. And like I was saying, people kind of hate you sometimes when you've got peace or joy, when everything is stressful, or when they're not having a lovely time. But at least you can, you know, it takes hate out of you and absorb some of their energy or whatever it is, to say, no matter what you're going through, you've got somebody here that's got a lifeline, and I ain't gonna give up on you. As long as you'll give me a chance, I won't give up on you. That's all I got.
Amen, George.
Amen. That's good. Missy, go ahead.
The Lord brought to my mind how, you know, when the Lord started teaching me, you know, to turn the other cheek, and, you know, Missy, you don't always have to say something when somebody says something back to you, even when you think you have, you know, the right or the authority or whatever. But anyway, I remember David teaching about, you know, everything that we do is either binding or loosing, is always either, you know, in respect to, you could say, everything we're doing is either having a positive effect or a negative effect. So, but anyway, I had this situation one time with a particular person that was used to me, you know, saying something back or, you know, or whatever, when they would be, you know, have something not nice to say or whatever. But anyway, so this person said something totally out of left field, like out of the blue, just, I don't even remember what it was anymore, but just nasty to me. And I just didn't, you know, I could see this person's countenance. They weren't looking at me when they said it, but you could see the countenance on their face, like, you know, anger, you know, just spitter of anger on them or, you know, whatever. And I just didn't say anything. And you know, and just after a few seconds not saying anything, this person kind of, their countenance, you could see, totally changed. It bound up their spirits in them, and you could see the conviction on their face for what they said to me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't have a look of anger or anything like that. I wasn't angry or nothing. But it's kind of like, you know, how the word says about heaping coals of fire on their head, you know, in a sense, that's by my response is what it did. But it all, you know, there's also that aspect that those spirits that were operating in that person were bound up, and, you know, they just, you know, just shut them up, you know? So, but yeah.
Amen. That's right. You do that and they don't have any ammunition, no ammo back to you. Okay, anyone else? Who is that? Okay, I got something I want to share with you. Oh, that's Julie. Julie, you got something you want to say? No, not Judy. Julie. Okay. Go ahead. Okay.
I don't have anything to say. I don't know where you got that.
Well, you unmuted, and I thought maybe you wanted to say something.
I didn't mean to unmute me.
Oh, okay. That's no problem.
Okay. No problem. Thanks. All right. Bye.
All right. Okay. I want to share something with you. If y'all want to watch it, don't make any difference. I'm going to share it anyway. Let me get this going here if I can. Oh, that's nice. All right. This is from Sid Roth. I'm not much of a Sid Roth fan, but he had this lady on, and I'll just go ahead and play it. Let's see here.
Voice for individuals. She says God is always speaking, and more importantly, he wants to speak to you. She says it's normal to hear God's voice. You want to be normal and hear God's voice?
Is there a supernatural dimension? A world beyond the one we know? Can we tap into ancient secrets of the supernatural? It's supernatural.
You know, Lon, I said this to you before. You're unique, not because you teach people how to hear God's voice, but from day one, you had a passion for God and a passion to hear his voice. How did you have this passion to hear God's voice?
I would say, honestly, it was God. I honestly believe it was a literal impartation from the Spirit of God. The moment I got saved, I had this incredible hunger, this cry within me that came out that said, God, I want you to speak, and I want to hear your voice. So I will do anything, I'll go anywhere, I'll do whatever I have to do to hear from you. And I literally positioned myself day and night on my bedroom floor for hours at a time. And I said, God, I'm not moving until I hear from you.
Now, at that time, were you spirit-filled? Did you pray in tongues?
Not originally. So I got saved when I was 16. I had this incredible hunger, and then I just started waiting on the Lord. And one night, as I was waiting on him, I felt what I now know was the presence of God, and the power of God filled my room. And from that moment of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, my life completely changed. My senses were activated and I began to see and hear, but yet I had no grid for it. I was crying out for something that I didn't even know how to process what was happening. All I knew was, God, I've read the word that says John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. So that's an invitation for me to hear. So I'm taking that promise and I want it. I want all of it.
You start your prayer in a way I haven't heard before, and I'm going to start doing it. Yeah. You start each morning with a question for God. God, what's on your heart? Mm-hmm. You don't start with your petitions, your laundry list.
No.
Why do you ask that question?
I had this moment of revelation when I was sitting with the Lord one day in my room, and I thought, hang on a second, this is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that I'm sitting before right now, and he's invited me into this place of being able to hear his voice. So if that's true, which it is, I want to ask you what you're dreaming about. I want to know what it is that you're speaking over my life, over my family, over my city and my nation. And then I want to align myself with exactly what you're saying and decree it and activate my faith.
There was a moment, it was, you call it your great awakening moment. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was the very first moment that I'd been crying out to the Lord, asking to hear his voice and feasting on the word. And all of a sudden, one particular evening, I'm sitting with the Lord and I hear an audible voice that says three words, I love you. And it startled me. It was literally so...
Did you look around to see if someone was in the room?
I did. It was the only way I can describe it was that it just shook everything within me. It was like it was an external voice, yet it went inside of me. It reverberated within me and it awakened me. Because up until that point, I had struggled with my identity and so much fear and not knowing who I was, and I had pain.
But it sounds so, almost, I hate to say it, almost trite. It's, we hear that, God loves you, God loves, we hear that all the time. Why did it have such an impact on you?
because of what I had walked through in my life, the things that I had experienced, I had a lot of pain in my heart. And in that moment, I realized it really is all about love. It is about knowing the love of God. God doesn't love me because of what I do, right? He loves me for who I am.
That's a hard thing for us humans to grasp. Absolutely. What you just said.
Yeah.
There was another time you heard the audible voice of God. You were in a church office. Yeah. What happened?
I was sitting in my office in the morning. I had the same question. Lord, what's on your heart today? And all of a sudden, I hear this audible voice, and it says to me, pick up your pen and write. So I picked up my pen, and all of a sudden, the power of God hit my hand. It felt like electricity was going through every part of my body, and my hand started to write at 1,000 miles an hour. I remember watching my hand thinking, I can't write this fast. And so much of what was contained within this letter from God was all these promises of Scripture. And it wasn't something I sat there going, okay, the Bible says, and I wrote it. Mm-hmm. It was this supernatural flow of just absolute beautiful truth from God about identity, about destiny, and about His nature.
But then you heard something that was terrifying to her. What did you hear?
Here I am looking at this letter thinking, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to hold this forever. This is my letter. And the voice comes again and says, Lana, pick up that letter and take it next door to the pastor. Now, you have to understand the context is that I was in a beautiful church. They were helping me understand the word of God. They were training me in leadership, but they weren't teaching on the prophetic and understanding the voice of God in these ways. So I'm thinking, God, how am I going to pick up this letter and go and deliver it? What do I say? But I had a moment, and this moment was, am I going to sit here and not obey God? Or am I going to obey God and maybe look silly? And I thought, you know what? I'm okay with looking silly. So I went and knocked on the door, and I mumbled something along the lines of audible voice, said, pick up your pen and write. The power of God hit my hand, and it told me to bring it to you. And he just looked at me and said, thank you very much. And I ran back to my office and wanted to crawl under the table. But a couple of minutes later, there was a knock at the door. And I turned around and I opened the door, and here was this beautiful man, and he was weeping. And he said to me, how did you know everything that you wrote here? And I said, it was God. And he said, today, Lana, I went down and I was in the restroom, he said, and I said to the Lord, if you don't answer these questions in my life today, I'm not doing ministry anymore. Like, I'm done. He said, every line on this piece of paper is the answer to every question that I asked.
And, you know, so Lana got a word from God's heart just to her. But God knew it was also for the pastor. That totally, he would have shipwrecked himself without that word. And you realized how important this gift is.
Yeah. And you know, he would often say from that point on, Lana, that moment changed my life. But you know what? That moment changed my life too. Because I realized that God doesn't want to just speak to me. He wants to speak through me.
Mm. Yeah. Did you know she talked about the audible voice of God? But that is not the average way that God speaks to her or most believers. Mm. We're going to talk about it when we come back. Some things she's learned about understanding the voice of God that will you will hear the voice of God. Mm-hmm. Be right back. People and right brain people, one are the creators, the other are the logical engineer types.
Yes.
Well, I have a problem. Both of them kick in with me. But my logical side says, if God wants to tell me something, he'll just tell me something. But you found something else about God.
Mm.
Tell me about this lingering, as you call it.
Yeah, I had a dream one night, and all night long, I heard a voice that I knew was the Lord saying over and over again, asking a question, where are those who will linger? And it was all night long. And as I was waking in the morning, in that kind of awake sleep state, I remember my heart saying to the Lord, Lord, I will linger. What are you saying about lingering? And he said, to those who linger, I will entrust the secrets of my heart. And I woke up. And from that point on, the Lord began to speak to me about the place of positioning of lingering, that the Lord is looking for us to be people that sit with him and just linger in his presence.
What do you do that means lingering?
my lingering place looks like. It looks different every day, but mostly I will just sit with the Lord and I will create a space where I will worship or I will soak, and I'm asking that same question. Lord, what is on your heart? What do you want to say right now? I'm not rushing out of your presence. I'm here to know you. I want to hear your voice. And so I make intentional times to actually just be with him.
Where does expectancy come to see God speaking all the time? Is that important?
Absolutely. I really believe that there a key to hearing God's voice is being expectant, is looking. I talk a lot about in my book about looking for him everywhere. Just, you know, he's always speaking, he's always moving. So it's my responsibility to be looking and asking the Lord to calibrate my eyes and my ears to understand the language of the Spirit and the ways that he's speaking every day.
It is almost like a different language. You told me you look a lot for repetition. Yes. Explain that.
Yeah, the Lord spoke to me very clearly when I was a couple of years ago asking him about understanding the language of the Spirit. And he said to me, Lana, pay attention to repetition. And so I began to, my first thing I did was I prayed that the Holy Spirit would enlighten me to patterns in my life, that he would help me to see the repetitive things in the positive that was happening. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly and he said, Lana, he said, go and research things. He said, go and research. If I highlight a symbol that you don't understand, go and look at it in the natural and have a look at what the facts are about certain symbols and just watch and see what I'll do. And that's exactly what happened to me with one particular symbol that he kept highlighting over and over.
What was that?
It was the Eiffel Tower. So I was sitting in a coffee shop and I was having a coffee with Jesus and I looked up.
Oh, stop for one second.
Yes.
Isn't that a neat idea? Coffee with Jesus? I like that idea. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I was sitting having a coffee with Jesus and I looked up and there was a painting on the wall of an Eiffel Tower and I knew straight away that the Lord was highlighting it. It was like it was 3D to me. I couldn't stop staring at it. I thought, that's interesting. And I asked the Lord, I didn't hear anything. For the next 3 to 4 weeks, I started seeing the Eiffel Tower everywhere I went. People gave me gifts of the Eiffel Tower. I didn't tell anybody. So I sat down and I started researching on Wikipedia and different things and found out that the Eiffel Tower was an antenna for communication. It was used to call troops to the front line and it was rooted and grounded in the city of love. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, this is a prophetic picture, Lana, of what I've called you to do. He said, you will tap into my heart and hear the sound waves of heaven and what's being released in my heart. He said, and then you will take it. He said, and you will decree it. He said, and you will see my Spirit awaken my people and call them to the front line into everything that I've called them to be, but always rooted and grounded in the love of Jesus, right? The revelation of my love that never changes and nothing can separate them from my love.
And you know something? You would have missed that if you didn't do the research.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I have to tell you, with all of my logic, I wouldn't have figured out to do that.
Yeah.
You know, the things that you have learned over these decades, they're so important for us to understand because literally, God is speaking to us in a heavenly dimension, and she has learned revelation as to how we can hear this. But here she is in her home country, Australia, no interest. I mean, she loves America, it's a great country, and the good, wonderful things we've done. But zero, she had as much interest in the presidential election as I have in the Australian political election. Now, mine is zero. And all of a sudden, God starts speaking to her about it. And also, will you pray when we come back an impartation for us to hear God's voice?
Absolutely.
Would you like that? Be right back.
Call now to get Lana Vosser's brand. Part audio CD teaching set, God is Speaking to You. In this CD series, you will understand divine encounters.
The only way you're going to fulfill your destiny is to do what God...
So
So Lana is not a political person, especially not the politics of the United States. And you're kind of minding your own business, yeah. And what happens?
I go to bed one night and I have a dream. And in my dream, it was one of those dreams that was so vivid. And I saw Donald Trump, and he was standing in an arena, and he was speaking really passionately, but I couldn't hear anything he was saying. And then all of a sudden, I was taken above the United States. And I remember I was like floating, and I was looking down, and across the nation in red letters, it said the word Trump. And then all of a sudden, the nation began to shake, like violently. And as it was shaking, the letters rearranged and it became triumph. And I hear this booming voice in my dream that says, Donald Trump shall lead the United States into triumph. And I woke up.
So she has several dreams, and he becomes president. But then she had a very strong warning about President Trump. What was that?
Yeah, after that dream, the Lord, I really felt, gave me his heart to really just be praying for him. And one morning I was sitting with the Lord having my coffee, and I said, what's on your heart today, Lord? And straight away a vision opened up in front of my eyes, and Jesus took me into a room, and we were standing at the back of the room looking, and at a table, a planning table, I saw the enemy, and there were all these demons all around him, and they were looking at a blueprint. And I knew that it was a blueprint of not great things planned to come against Donald Trump. And the Lord looked at me and he said, you must call the intercessors to be rising up and the body of Christ to be praying protection over Donald Trump as he moves into everything that I have for him.
Somehow, despite what our limited information is telling us, God has the big picture. Mm. And all I know is I want to follow God.
Amen.
And I want to pray right now for the protection of President Trump. Mm. Would you agree with me? Mm. After all, God says we're to do that.
Yes.
Father, in Jesus' name, we agree that there are angels all around him. We agree that there is a wall of protection around him and his wife and his children. Mm. And we agree no weapon formed against him can prosper. And we agree that you will give this president wisdom.
Yes.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom to run this country. For what purpose? I know your purpose, God. America has not fulfilled its destiny. We are to evangelize the world. That's why we have to pray for America to be all that God's called it to be. Now, Lana, you had a vision how one word from God can change everything.
Yeah. I had this incredible vision sitting with the Lord. I was going through a season of incredible the battle of the mind. There was so much stuff going on in my head. And I said, Lord, I need to hear your truth, because I know that it's one word that you speak can shift everything. So, Lord, what is your truth? And straight away I had this vision and I saw Jesus, and he was kneeling down, leaning over a tree stump, and his hands were tied. And as I looked to the right, there was a man with a whip. And on the left was the enemy. And the enemy was standing there looking at me, and he was accusing me. He was accusing me of things in my past. He was saying, this is who you are. You know, this is, you're not going to do this. And he was absolutely going after me.
She's broken the law.
But every single time he spoke, the man on the right would whip Jesus across the back. And he would cry out, and it still makes me emotional. He would cry out, and he would decree the truth of who I was. He would decree who I am and his great love for me and what he had called me to. And every lie that the enemy spoke against me, the Lord decreed his truth. But in that moment, I knew that Jesus has taken it all. that, he's taken my sin, he's taken everything, and I stand in him righteous and free and forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. And that encounter changed my life because I saw the demonstration of his love in a way I'd never seen in visual form. And here I was thinking it was the voice of God decreeing truth that broke the power of those lies in my life.
I want you to pray for us to hear God.
Yeah. Lord, I thank you that we have the promise that my sheep hear my voice. So, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, I release an impartation to every person watching to hear the voice of God. May he surprise you in ways with his voice. Lord, I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Lord, I pray the impartation of dreams and visions. Lord, encounters with you. Lord, that joy would burst forth in their life as they seek after you and seek your heart to hear your voice. Lord, and that the invitation of your heart to see and to hear, and that you are a God that confirms your word, would just fill your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want you to tell people eyeball to eyeball how powerful they are and that they can shine.
Yes. I want to encourage you today. You are powerful today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that as you walk with Jesus and you hold his hand, that he has greater plans for you than you could ever imagine. That right now, today, that the Holy Spirit wants to flow through you in ways that you could never have imagined. That you are called to shine, that you are an atmosphere shifter, that you are called to release the love and light of Jesus. And so today I want to encourage you that as you go about your day-to-day life, be asking the Lord, what are you saying, God? What are you doing? And use me today to minister and to extend your kingdom. Because one word of encouragement, one word can change somebody's life. And you know what? It's not about having all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. The Lord isn't looking for ability. He's looking for availability. So you are powerful today, and your yes to him, you hold on to your hat because God's going to blow you away by what he's going to do through you.
You are God's workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus for good works, not do them.
All right. What do y'all think of that? Pretty good. Well, don't everybody talk at one time, okay? I'm just saying. Go ahead, Willie.
That reminds me of something that happened to me yesterday while I was praying. You know, it's interesting how all this stuff lines up. Where does it say in Acts where Christ speaks about pouring out his spirit, or where Peter speaks about what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was? Was it Acts 4? Acts chapter 2? Woo, I need to study. Okay. Okay. Acts chapter 2 and 17. And this is what I found really interesting that the Lord told me when he brought the scripture to my mind. And it shall be in the last days, saith God, I will pour forth my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And upon my servants and upon my handmaidens, in those days will I pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. But I didn't get the end, they shall prophesy. You know, the Lord began, he took that last piece of scripture, and, you know, he said, I will make them, you know, a conduit for my Holy Spirit. And I was like, wow. that kind of blew my mind, you know, because I, you know, you think about you think about handmaids, you know, servants and handmaids, and the way he showed it to me, and I was like, wow. I was like, wow, Lord, you know, make me a conduit for your Holy Spirit, you know. And this feeling came over me, you know. Whether if I can explain it, if it was spiritual or just, you know, some type of jubilee, you know, when I got to that, near that end, you know, he was like, pray to become a conduit, you know, for his Holy Spirit. Now, that really kind of touched me, what the woman just said there, you know. I was like, wow, that's very interesting, you know. But yeah, that's all I got to say.
I guess I better unmute. Go ahead, Missy.
Wow. The part where she was, the Lord was there, you know, she had that vision of the Lord being beaten or whatever, and just brought to my mind what I read today in Abiding Christ. And it's about him being the surety of a better covenant, and talks about in Hebrews 7 about him being able to save to the uttermost those who come forward to him, because he lives always to intercede for them. And gosh, I don't know, I don't want to read too much, trying to figure out here to read, but having said that, let me start here. It says, believer, come and see, hear how the possibility of abiding in Jesus every moment is secured by the very nature of this ever-living priesthood of your surety. Moment by moment, as his intercession rises up in efficacy, blah, 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 its efficacy descends. And because Jesus stands good for the fulfillment of the covenant, I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. He cannot afford to leave you one single moment to yourself. He dares not do so, or he would fail of his undertaking. Your unbelief may fail of realizing the blessing. He cannot be unfaithful. If you will but consider him and the power of that endless life after which he was made and is a high priest, your faith will rise to believe that an endless, ever-continuing, unchangeable life of abiding in Jesus is nothing less than what is waiting for you. It is to see that Jesus is, and is to us, that the abiding in him will become the natural, spontaneous result of our knowledge of him. If his life unceasingly, moment by moment, rises to the Father for us, and descends to us from the Father, then to abide moment by moment is easy and simple. Each moment of conscious communion with him will simply say, Jesus, surety, keeper, ever-living Savior, in whose life I dwell, I abide in you. Each moment, if need or darkness or fear, we will say, O you high priest, in the power of an endless, unchangeable life, I abide in you. And for the moments when direct and distinct communion with him must give place to necessary occupations, we can trust his suretyship, his unceasing priesthood, in its divine efficacy, and the power which he saves to the uttermost. still to keep us abiding in him. But what really just got me about this, about, you know, yeah, I know, you know, it says that he intercedes for us, always intercedes for us, but it just really impacted me. It never hit home as strongly after reading this, you know, that the Lord is always interceding for us. I mean, he died. He shed his blood to take away our sins and reconcile us to God. And he's there praying and interceding for us. And you know his prayers are definitely going to get answered, but he's doing that and for lack of a better way of saying, making sure that it happens, that his death for us wasn't in vain. I mean, and what it's saying here is it's all up to it's all the Lord's doing. He's the one that does it all. It's just you know, just realizing, you know, he's even the one that keeps us in him, you know. I mean, just by going to him and asking him, you know, just as David often says, just ask him for everything, you know, just ask him. There's nothing you can't ask him for. But anyway, so so in saying that, you know, he's, you know, he's always interceding for us, and yeah, my sheep hear my voice and will not follow another, you know. He was the one that said that. So it's like, yeah, believe it, Lord. You know, this whole thing about you know, hearing the Lord's voice, you know, the more you just, you know, just, I have this sense after reading this and listening to her share there is, you know, the Lord really does want us to hear his voice. He really wants to speak to us and just to, you know, just asking, you know, he's praying that for us, and just believe everything that his word says, you know, just believe it. I mean, it says it, just believe it, receive it. I don't know. It's just awesome. So.
Amen. Yep, it is. It's awesome to know that the God who created the whole universe will sit and listen to us and then talk to us. That's awesome. That is awesome. All right. Anyone else have a comment on that little video? Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, there is a verse here in Proverbs, the 6:22. And it's a really nice verse. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. So there you have it again. And that's when you bind all things continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. You know, this is the grace of God around your neck. When you go to him for mercy and truth before the mercy seat for more grace, more of all you can be in Christ, you know, and he'll pop those verses in your head. It may not be verbatim, but, you know, it'll be there for how you can understand it and for yourself and for the fellowship, and even things maybe even about the world. So expect to hear it, because you're a child of God, and you are. You know, it says that in 1 John, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. And we are, you know, those three last words. And we are. And that's you and that Apostle John. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, she said something that Andy Murray always says throughout his books, and that is wait before the Lord, linger before the Lord. Don't just get down. And I'm learning that. I ain't nowhere near where I need to be, but he's teaching me patience to wait on the Lord and to wait and to hear his voice until I hear something, you know, or something comes in my head, you know. When you're even reading a word, you know, don't just read it, as David calls it, like a hog eating slop, you know, going through it real quick. Just meditate on it. And those meditate, ask the Lord, you know, hey, what does this mean, Lord? You know, and he'll show you. He'll show you. But, I'm trying to learn this lingering thing, you know. I like to get in there and slap out my list and get on up and go do something else. When God wants us to sit there in his presence and soak in his presence and listen for those still small voice to tell you what's on his heart today, you know. I'm getting excited now because I know God's fixing to do that. He's going to do that for a lot of folks. Okay, anybody else? Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Sue. How you doing?
All right. It's funny when she was talking about how she heard his voice, you know, audibly. You know, wasn't too long ago. I remember talking to the Lord, and I was saying, Lord, I wish, you know, this was, I think it was that night before I went to sleep or something. I said, Lord, I wish I could hear your voice audibly, you know, because I never heard it. My husband heard the Lord's voice audibly, but he didn't recognize it at first that it was the Lord. But so I prayed this recently, and then I went to sleep, and then I heard, then all of a sudden I woke up, I heard someone say, Sue. And I knew that it was audible, and I knew it was the Lord. And I had to laugh because he was answering my prayer. He called my name. And that's all I got, but I thought, you know, he did answer my prayer, and I think he was wanting to encourage me too to go on. When I was a widow at first serving the Lord, you know, when you first start living for the Lord, you're just more on fire than ever, you know. And I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot, and it really does help to just wait before the Lord. I know that. And I have to get back there too. So I understand, you know, I want to get back there. It's not that I don't, but it's like, it's just has to be, you have to kind of, you know, Lord has to give us the desire first, and, you know, he'll, and it has to be him doing it is what I'm saying. You know, you can't do it without that desire. He has to put it in us. So Lord, I just pray that you give us that desire. Give us that desire that we would want to spend more time with you, and so that we can hear your voice and know your voice even more, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We can hear from you. Thank Amen.
You. Amen. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Early on in my walk with the Lord, I wasn't even a year old, I don't think. I don't remember that I was. One morning I got up and was putting my blue jeans on, and I was telling the Lord how much I loved him. And just like that lady there, the Lord, right back here, he said, in an audible voice, he said, I love you too, Michael. And I did like her. I fell out. You know, I said, and I looked around. I said, who said that? But, yeah, that was one experience that I've had that the Lord did. Talk to me. audibly. It was awesome. I was, you know, I was dancing on clouds the rest of the day. And what, when you're that young and you're kind of dancing the Lord and you don't understand what's going on a lot of time, if I'd have thought, logically speaking, and said, that was the Lord speaking to you. Now, you need to seek that voice every day. Well, I didn't. You know, I just thought that was an anomaly. You know, that's just something that happens once in your lifetime, you know, or some silly nonsense like that. And I didn't hook on to it, and I should have, but I didn't. But now we are. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Don. Wait a minute, you got Don, you got to unmute. Ah, what a pretty head. Let me do it for you, okay? There you go, we got you.
I hope my head didn't blind you.
Oh, no, it didn't. I can almost see now.
Oh, yeah, okay. It was a life-changing experience for me once the Lord spoke to me. I had a friend who was a Lutheran guy. And he was telling me that one of his a close friend of his family went to Catherine Kuhlman meeting. And while he was there, he felt something take place in the heart area. He had a heart pacer there. So he went back to his doctor that put it in. And he told me that the doctor couldn't find it. I didn't believe what he said. And the Lord said to me, love believes all things. Now, I've heard stories of people being healed before, and I believed them. But the Lord did that to show his power to me. It was shortly after that I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He did that to get me to go in a different direction in my life. So I thanked him for that. I did at that time. It was just about a few months after that I came into the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, when the Lord speaks to you, generally it's life-changing experience. Praise the Lord. All right, anyone else? Go ahead, Willie.
Yeah, I know I talk too much. But now, there's something I wanted to read. I found it interesting. You know, Lord started sharing, you know, some inner chamber information with me. And I thought it was really neat. But I wrote it down in my Bible. If you guys don't mind, it's not too long. It says, and this, I just wrote it down in its rawest form, you know, as the Lord gave it to me. Remember, the Bible is talking to a surrendered heart without ambition of self or others, but a heart that will not live independently of God's, of God. God's love toward us is for us not to live independently of Him. A life broken, its will and meat for only the conscience of the Spirit of God and Master's use. We are afflicted to be broken by God to release all avenues of our life to the nourishment and love of God. This is glory, God's all in all, a glory unfeigned. The secret toward the inner chamber of God is an open conscious that only lives to be in direct contact in an inner dwelling of a spiritual nature grown or led, suspended, and sustained and nurtured by the accepted creator. And they have no need that any should bear witness of man, for they all shall receive their person from God, being taught by him, and all shall know him in their person, from the least even to the greatest, in the very person of the Spirit, being of God, in the very person and Spirit, being of God. In the very person of and Spirit, being of God, persona born of God, for the Spirit man to live, no flesh can be saved. For the very ambition of all flesh is separation from God. So if one tries to live in the Spirit, but after the flesh, there is only separation from God. And there's more that I wrote, but I'll stop there. I just found that really interesting, you know. I was doing it, it came to me while I was at work just before it was time for me to do the lunch count, and I'm like, Write it down. But if y'all heard anything wrong in that, just let me know. I just thought that was really awesome.
What do you mean? All right. Anybody else? Yeah, TM, go ahead, brother.
That video was, quite enlightening. I enjoyed it, but I think about the verse in first chapter of Isaiah, he's talking about the cleansing of our sins, and one line that's been hanging up with me and rolling around my mind for months now is, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, about our cleansing. And I interpret that as like a partnership where we're working together. And then after listening to her, I go, this is a really one-sided partnership we have with the Lord, because we get up every morning and we lay our wants out there. You know, I want this, Lord. I want that. Do this for me, Lord. You know, all that. And, you know, what she said, you know, ask the Lord what he wants. And I said, yes, that's, you know, what a partnership should be is, you know, if we lay our wants out on the line to ask him what he wants out of us that day, and listen, the listening part was really big. So that makes a little more sense out of that reasoning together out of Isaiah 4 anyway.
Yeah, it should be a two-way conversation. Absolutely. We like to get in there. I'm speaking about myself. I just get in there and, you know, God will listen to you a whole lot closer if you sit there and listen to him. He'll give you a whole lot more. Just like he said, if you'll linger, I'll give you the revelations of my heart. Hey, that's some stuff there now. Because that man's got some revelations in the heart now. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. All right, anybody else? Did everybody get to read that little piece that I sent out? You know something? I put on the local blog the other day, the one about the day. Doing it day by day. And then the next chapter, I think he got his chapters backwards. Because the next one was moment by moment. That's the one that I sent y'all. And I believe Missy brought that out last week on chapter 15 of that book, Abiding in Christ. And I got into that and I said, my gracious, that's right. You know, that's what we ought to do. We ought to just walk every moment, moment by moment. I said, Lord, I'm going to stay in your will right now. Right now, this moment, I'm in your will. Praise God. And then when something comes up, you'll always have Jesus on your mind. You'll always have Jesus on your mind. And that really struck me as, it helped me. I don't know about y'all, but it helped me. Because my mind tends to wander. I don't know about y'all. Daddy used to call it a discipline problem. They call it something else now, like HDD 48 or something. I don't know what it is. Attention deficit. Daddy called it, get to the organ bench. I'll be there in a minute. assume the position. And it taught me to keep my mind focused on what I was doing. You understand what I'm saying? And I didn't have to have these drugs to keep my attention focused. All I needed was a little strap across the behind, you know, and I was focused. Yeah, I'm focused now, Daddy. I'm so focused now. I'm going to be focused till the next time I have to come in this organ bit. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. But anyway. And that's the way the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to be focused in Him all the time. And that moment by moment really helped me a lot, you know. I tend to look at, okay, I got to keep my whole self focused on Jesus for the next year or two, you know, next 14 years, you know, whatever, you know, instead of just moment by moment by moment. And it's a lot easier for me to grasp that than it is to keep, you know, something up in the future. Go ahead, Leo. Get me out of this mess, brother. I can't hear you. If your microphone's not working, remind me in the morning or at the Bible study, and I'll try to think. And I've got an extra headset, I believe, in here, and I can just give that to you. Well, I hear that. Yeah, put it on.
Next time.
I can hear you now. The microphone on your headset's working.
If you can hear me now?
Yep.
I was going to say, I hate this computer. I'm going to take a gun and just shoot it. I was going to say that Andrew Murray thing that you sent out actually talked about entering into the rest. That's a way to enter into the rest in the moment by moment that you were just talking about. And I thought that was interesting too, because we talked about entering the rest last week, and that addressed that too. So that was a pretty good article. And, you know, we got to do it right now. Don't wait till later, do it right now. Pam had a story on the blog about she was on a phone call with her girlfriend, and the girlfriend got another phone call that she said to Pam, well, let me call you back in a half hour. I want to take this call and pray with this lady. And as she got off of the phone with her friend, Pam heard a word from the Lord, and he gave her five things about the other lady that was calling. And so when her friend called her back after she prayed with the woman, she said she explained to her what the Lord had told her, and it was right on, you know. her friend said, "This is amazing that you've done this, you know." And it was just hearing the word of the Lord and acting on it, you know. So that was a good experience. So I wrote. She asked for people to pray, and I thought to myself, all right, well, I'll get around to it and I'll pray for her. And the word of the Lord came to me and said, no, you'll forget it if you don't do it right now. So I said, well, I'll do that. So I did that. I prayed for the lady that she would be open to what was being said and she could overcome this problem. But then I wrote back to Pam and told her that I was going to pray later, but the Lord told me, no, I should pray now. So I did that. So that was good.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. What was that? Go ahead, Andrew.
No, it's just like that song they all sing, you know? Moment by moment, new mercies each day. You know, I don't know the song, but that's the only verse I know from it. Yeah.
Oh, you got a good voice. Come on, Andrew, sing the whole thing. Amen. Amen. Yeah, it's interesting the way God is showing us these little things to do, and it just keeps us. It keeps me in the at the moment type of deal, and I like that because I can manage that. I can manage moment by moment. I can't manage a week's work. Got to do it moment by moment. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Oh my. Closing out time. You know something, I think Thursday night, if the Lord leads us, we can have some praise and worship that Thursday night if y'all want to. I did want to get that video out to y'all tonight and let y'all listen to it. That's one of the Sid Ross things, so if you want to get on YouTube and look at it again, you can. Let me see, I might be able to get the thing and put it on there. Yeah, I can. I'll copy it and paste it on there. In the chat. Okay, there it is. So anybody that wants it, better copy and paste quick. Okay, let's go ahead and close out with prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for these little teaching sessions you give us to where we can learn how to listen to your voice and linger and all of those things in these moment by moment rest things that you've given us, Lord. It helps us to kind of put it in perspective in our little day-to-day life to where we can manage our time with you, Lord. And Father, place it in our hearts to sacrifice time to linger in your presence longer until we can hear your voice and to know that you're there and then to minister to you rather than just throw out our lists and then get up and get off and go and do about what what we had planned to do that day. Lord, nothing is more important than listening and doing what you want us to do. Nothing. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you place it in all of our hearts to do that and to seek you with all our hearts and to absolutely lay our lives on the altar to you, Lord. Because there's nothing out there that's more important than running after you with all our hearts. There's nothing out there more important than that. And I just praise you, Father, for what you're doing in each one of us. And, Lord, be with us, protect us. And, Lord, I just ask and I pray for your protection upon President Trump and his family and the people around him that are working for him, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to place it into people's heart here to keep praying for him because there will be triumph. And it's not like Sid Ross think, it's just a triumph for your people that are running after you, Lord, to have peace for the first 3.5 years of this tribulation that's coming up. And Lord, I believe that. And I believe, Lord, that you're going to, I don't know when it's going to start. It doesn't make any difference. But I ask that you prepare each one of us for it so that we can help others during that period of time. And Father, we just praise you for growing us up, maturing us in you, and keep us in the presence of your Holy Spirit at all times. Fill us all up with so much so with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that darkness has to go. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Give us all a good night's sleep, and let us all have our eyes locked on you, Lord, until we meet again Thursday night, God willing. And we praise you and glorify you for being our God, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, y'all.